Love Talk Radio.
And I mean that with love. What's up, son? How's everybody's day going today? I know it's early. Definitely on the West Coast it's early. I'm not sure there's anybody on the West Coast that listens to the live stuff because of the time. So it sucks for them. But not really. They get to hear it on YouTube where the audio is absolutely pristine. And we have video. You guys are listening to me in the shitty audio. Gotcha. A lot of great stuff to get to. We actually have a really sad story to open up here that shows you the extent of the corruption in American politics. I mean, stuff like this makes me want to, I don't know. I actually don't know. I'm not just saying that. It makes me so depressed that I almost want to give up on politics when I tell you the first story here. Then also, we have some bad news for Hillary Clinton in the wake of her non-indictment and what that means for her going forward. The polls, are not really that into her. The polls took a turn in the worst direction for her as a result of that. So we'll discuss that. Also, some Republicans are losing their mind over Trump. I think it's fake outrage. I'm going to break down why I think it's fake outrage. President Obama, out of nowhere, was like, hey, you know what would be a great idea, man? A great idea would be if we decided to, do some better kind of healthcare reform. You know, maybe if we did, like single payer or a public option or something like that, wouldn't that be a great idea? And as somebody pointed out to me yesterday on Twitter, yeah, if only there was a time in your presidency when you had a supermajority. Then maybe you could have got it done. For those of you who don't understand why that is funny, he actually did have a supermajority at one point. But anyway, so we're going to talk about that. Also, there were some whispers in the media yesterday about Republicans perhaps softening their language on the issue of gay marriage. Wrongski! Turns out they're just as douchey and dickish as they've always been. So we're going to talk about that and much more. Let's go ahead and get started here. And we'll kick it off with the story of insane deep corruption. We have a sad story here that shows just how corrupt politics in America really is. So this highlights the problem of the revolving door between big business and Wall Street and government. It's a pervasive problem, and people rarely speak about it. We speak about other aspects of money in politics, but the revolving door is one that, for whatever reason, gets less coverage and less attention. Well, this story really is the peak, the pinnacle of that problem. So Ryan Grimm reports here. A Democratic corporate lobbyist is jumping into a Senate race to fill a seat made vacant by the retirement of a Republican corporate lobbyist. You can't make this up. The news is a major boon to Democrats who are looking to retake the Senate and also to people looking for evidence that the political system is deeply corrupt. The general practice of rotating from public office into the private sector and back again is deeply ingrained, but one particular Indiana Senate seat has hosted more than its share of special interest romps. Since at least 1989, the seat has been occupied by either a former or soon-to-be lobbyist. So Evan Bayh is the corporate lobbyist who's a Democrat who's running again this time around. He retired in 2010 because he said he wanted to do something with his life that was important. He decided very quickly, yeah, that's a bad idea. Let me continue to be a terrible human being and a sellout. So they say, Bai signed on with McGuire Woods, where he joined the lobbying campaign to repeal the medical device tax, which plays a role in financing the Affordable Care Act. He then joined the private equity firm Apollo and pushed against efforts to close the carried interest loophole, which famously allows money managers to pay laughably low tax rates. In addition, Bai signed up with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the nation's largest corporate lobby, to lead a PR campaign in opposition to regulations promulgated by the Obama administration. This effort sought to roll back or block the implementation of regulations at the Environmental Protection Agency, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, Securities and Exchange Commission, and the newly created Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So when we talk about Hillary Clinton, for example, and I always say she's a center-right corporatist sellout Democrat, she is the status quo, she is the establishment, and I actually found it difficult to think of other Democrats who are to the right of her. Well, there are some Democrats who are to the right of her and who are even bigger sellouts than her. One of them is Evan Bai. And Evan Bai is running again for the Senate, and if he gets elected, of course, he will act just like a Republican, just like he did the last time he was elected. So this shows you – now, this is a particularly egregious example here, but this shows you, by and large, your choices in America. Your choices are the Republican Party, who barely even – try to hide it anymore, that they're just the political arm or wing of corporate America. And you have the Democratic Party, who they'll sprinkle in some change on social issues, and they'll try to be on the right side with social issues. They'll throw you a bone every now and then on economic issues, but they're also an 80% sellout to corporate America. So Republicans are 100% sellouts, Democrats are 80% sellouts, and there are your choices. Shut the fuck up and make a decision. And man, is it frustrating. You know, people wonder, well, actually, the people themselves don't wonder, but people in Washington wonder, I don't get it. They just elected us. This could be right after an election. They just elected us, and look at our approval rating. It's so low. And there's a reason for that, because people know deep down that everybody in Washington isn't representing them. So the approval rating for Congress has recently gone back and forth between 13% and 9%. Think about that. I mean, you could have it so you just get elected, and you do a poll within a month, and people go, yeah, you know, it's a 12% approval rating, 13% approval rating. And in Washington, like, oh, I don't understand. Just pick me. I thought it would be great. Well, it's because everybody gets deep down. They might not be able to explain it perfectly, but they understand deep down, well, clearly you're not representing us because we send you there and nothing changes. Certainly nothing changes for the better. If anything, things get worse. And it's clear that, I mean, just look at what they do. Corporate welfare for all these giant corporations bail out Wall Street like that when they need it. But is there ever a bailout for the people? Is there ever, you know, some sort of legislation that reverses the disastrous trade deals that shipped good American jobs overseas? You know, there's been stagnating wages since the 1980s. So obviously people aren't going to like you. You haven't done dick for them. You've done things for the corporations who are screwing them. So the interests are at odds, and you chose the corporations because they pay you. And again, your choices are shitty Democrats and even shittier Republicans. And you could see it not just on domestic policy and economic policy, but also on foreign policy. I say all the time, the choice between the Democrats and the Republicans, it's soft imperialism versus imperialism. So when I say soft imperialism, I mean Obama style. So, you know, hey, in most countries that we're intervening, we're just doing drone strikes. So no boots on the ground. I mean, what's the problem? All we're doing is blowing people up with drones remotely. People are sitting in a fucking Las Vegas studio and pressing buttons to kill people. By the way, 90% of the time we get the wrong people. According to internal government memos, it's not me speaking, it's them speaking internally. Former drone operators have crazy stories about how, you know, we call them fun-sized terrorists when they kill kids and stuff like that. Insane. Obama is, hey, we do drone strikes in most of the places we're intervening, and in other places it's just traditional drone strikes. You send in the fighter jets. I'm sorry, traditional airstrikes. You send in the fighter jets. You shoot the missiles at the targets. What? That's not hard imperialism. And then in a few places we have special ops forces on the ground. So, you know, hey, we're not doing neocon style. Send 50,000 or 100,000 troops in there and let them fucking permanently occupy in a giant base and escalate and fight more. But hey, we got 8,000 troops in there. Special ops people on the ground just helping people. What's the problem? There's your soft imperialism. Intervention in 7 countries. But hey, we didn't do a full-on invasion with 50 to 100,000 troops, so let's not call it a war. And let's pretend like we're not doing it. That's the Democrats. The Republicans, we already know how they are. The neocons, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld. I mean, they wear it on their sleeve. Yeah, we want to go in everywhere. I mean, they would have... If they thought they could get away with it, they also would have went into Iran when they were in power. I mean, obviously, they went into Iraq and they, you know, did horrible things there. Afghanistan, they went there too, though there originally was a better argument to go into Afghanistan after 9/11 than Iraq. But they also would have went into Iran. I mean, they were saying that they wanted to. So there are your choices. Well, we're sick of these fucking choices, man, and this is why grassroots movements are so necessary, because on election day, oftentimes you really are left with just, hey, pick the lesser of two evils. And anybody with a brain goes, well, I mean, one is more evil. What am I going to do? Go for the more evil one? No. So, but that's why when the elections aren't happening, so when there are primaries, we have to try to push the most progressive candidates possible. That's why you have to fight when there's not an election, and even during the election. Why not? For stuff like Wolfpack, where we try to get an amendment to get money out of the political system. You know, you got to fight for systemic reform. Represent.us is another one. They're trying different routes to get money out of politics. So there are ways to go about doing this. There are also, you know, big progressive groups that try to get progressive candidates to run. So there are some people working on the money in politics angle. There are other people working on just getting more progressive candidates in the race up front. Bernie Sanders recently said, as part of the political revolution, he wants people who like him and his policies to jump into the race. Thousands are ready to do that. So this is what we do. This is how we change stuff. And the end goal and the end game is to get money out of the system. Because if you don't get money out of the system, you're always going to have Evan Bayh. You're always going to have the Democrats, who are basically old school Republicans, and the Republicans, who are crazy people who, you know, are just representing Goldman Sachs while at the same time screaming, fuck gay people, fuck trans people, and let's ban all drugs. So that's going to be your spectrum. Those are going to be your choices until we get this systemic reform. But when we get the systemic reform, that's when you experience what a functioning democracy looks like. I mean, there are some places in Scandinavia, there are some places throughout the world that have clean elections, and their political spectrum just makes more sense. You have liberals who are actual liberals. Here in the United States, the furthest left we got is Bernie Sanders, and he's a social democrat, which in the modern world is really just a centrist, not a liberal. So if we get money out of the system, the politicians will reflect the will of the voters more because we will be paying them for their campaigns, not special interests. But until we do that, it's Evan Bayh all day long or people even worse than him. And that's a grim reality to face. All right, now let's go to Hillary Clinton in the wake of her non-indictment. There's a lot of stuff to say here. We have some bad news here for Hillary Clinton in the wake of her non-indictment as a result of the email scandal. Quote, 56% of Americans disagree with FBI Director James Comey's recommendation to clear Hillary Clinton of any wrongdoing for her email practices as Secretary of State, according to an ABC Washington Post poll released on Monday. Unsurprisingly, Republicans are united in their stance on the issue. 88% of those polled disagree with Comey's recommendation not to charge Clinton with a crime. But perhaps a less anticipated finding of the poll is that Democrats aren't completely unified in their perception of the issue. While 6 in 10 Democrats polled agree with Comey's recommendation, a significant portion, 31%, disagree with it. Think about that. that's devastating. We're going into a general election. And in a general election, the one thing you're supposed to be able to rely on is that all the people who have a D in front of their name are going to vote for the Democratic candidate. So everything else, hey, you know, those are the – that's the thing that's up in the air. Those are the question marks. Are we going to get independents? Are we going to get moderates? You know, are we going to get people who were unaffiliated and it's their first election or whatever the case is? Those are the things that people think, well, that'll decide the election. It's supposed to be a given that the people who call themselves Democrats, who are basically party loyalists, are like, well, of course I like my candidate. Of course, you know, this is the person who I want to line up behind. Poll shows us is that 31% of Democrats, 31% are saying, I think she should have been indicted over the email scandal because of how she handled classified information. The Democratic establishment thought they were so smart. They thought they were geniuses. Let's continue the status quo. Let's continue business as usual. Let's run the most sellout candidate ever who will represent no change. At the very best, just continues what Obama is doing. At worst, is going to go further to the right on the spectrum than Obama. Let's run that person at a time when Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump had roaring campaigns with fierce, ferocious populist rhetoric. They're like, let's run the person who represents Washington and the establishment, and what could go wrong? This could go wrong. And, like, I love when people respond with, yeah, but she won the primary anyway, so, like, she's obviously more popular. This is what Barney Frank says. No, you idiots. She's coasted off of her name recognition and her celebrity status. So when you're first lady, when you're secretary of state, when you ran for president the last time around and you were the favorite the last time around, your name recognition is so incredibly high that you just handed over a tremendous number of the votes for people who are Democrats, but they don't follow politics all that closely, but they'll still vote in the primary. Whereas Bernie Sanders, a nothing senator who very few people knew from Vermont, people had to learn who he was from the beginning. And he started with this massive disadvantage, and he almost fucking won. That doesn't show that Hillary Clinton is a strong candidate. That shows that she's a weak candidate. Her unfavorables are 56%. That's a record for a Democratic candidate going into a general election. Record high unfavorables. Now, Donald Trump also has record high unfavorables. We should mention that. And his are even higher. His, according to one poll, it was 70%. But he also doesn't have this shit. I mean, this is 50. A majority of the country is saying you should have been indicted over what you did with classified information. Guys, people aren't stupid. I mean, if you saw James Comey's speech, we broke it down very specifically. And he said, oh, by the way, she lied about everything. About everything. We didn't have any classified information. Cut to James Comey. There were 110 different emails with classified information in it. Even like 10 of them had top secret, which is the highest level of secrecy. She didn't – her email server – remember, server, not just, you know, her personal email account. It's a server, her own server. It didn't even have security that was as good as Gmail. She's fucking Secretary of State. And she's in Russian territory sending emails about what's happening in Russia. And they said, we wouldn't even know if they were able to spy on it. They were able to spy on it, but we don't even know if they did spy on it. Because we wouldn't even be able to track it because of how lax her security was. People look at that, 56% of the country looks at that, and they're like, are you kidding me? Because then compare that with, because they say intent, oh, intent, she didn't want to, you know, be a Russian spy, and she wasn't disloyal to America, which is the standard they literally set up. So what are we going to do? We can't find her guilty, and we can't even indict her. Fucking Edward Snowden, you want to talk about intent? Edward Snowden is exiled from the United States of America when he specifically leaked information because he said this is unconstitutional for people not to know it. They have a right to know what the government is doing here. So his intent wasn't even just benign, it was good. His intent was, everybody needs to know this. Chelsea Manning, hey, I'm letting you know that you're military is killing civilians in your name and then covering it up. Oh, I don't care if your intent was good. We're going to have to fucking lock you up. And they did. So people look at this. They go, look at the discrepancy. Look at the disparity. Somebody who's less powerful, somebody who's not in the Washington insider circles, they leak information even for good. The intent is good. No, you're either exiled or locked up. Hillary Clinton? Oh, the intent? We don't even care about intent. Whatever. So you broke some rules. You lied about absolutely everything. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, hey, we're not going to bring charges. We're not going to indict you. Nothing. So, sorry. Well, 56% of the country says that's bullshit. Because they're not stupid. They know Edward Snowden exists. They know Chelsea Manning exists. They can see exactly what she did. There are articles out that describe in detail what she did. So, and this is the person that the Democrats brilliantly think, let's run this person up against a fascist monster in Donald Trump. Ho-ho, nothing could go wrong here. Nothing could go wrong. Except you have the establishment and the status quo, which people know is fucking them and has been fucking them, versus somebody who's portraying himself as an anti-establishment candidate. So, on framing alone, this is the first election in my lifetime where the Democratic candidate has been more pro-establishment, and the Republican candidate is more, at least theoretically, anti-establishment. That's a bad side of the equation to be on, man. You want to be the rah-rah insiders, yay! That's the side that liberals are supposed to be on? What do you think the fucking 60s liberals would think of this? The people who were countercultural to their core. The people who said, fuck your authority. Now all of a sudden with Hillary Clinton, it's yay authority! That's what you want to do? Well, even the Democratic Party isn't buying it. 31% of the Democratic Party is not buying it. We're in a pickle. We're in a pickle. You have two candidates. I hate both candidates. I think everybody knows that. It's pretty clear. But you have situations like this which expose Hillary Clinton's character for what it really is. And now even Democrats look at it and go, ugh, that's gross. If only there was another option. If only, Bernie Sanders was on the menu and he had more time to get people to hear his message more. I think he would have won if he had more time to go out there and make his case. Because when you have this kind of a human being against a principled person who agrees with the American people on the policy substance, that's a no-brainer. And unfortunately, we got the worst result. Okay. All right, you know what? Let me take a quick break now, and then when I come back, we're going to get into establishment Republicans are losing their minds over Donald Trump. I can't wait to talk about that. And President Obama with some infuriating comments about health care. I might go off on that one. And I gave too much credit to the Republicans yesterday, man. There were reports about how they're going to get better on the issue of gay marriage. And that's not true. they're just as bad, if not worse. All right, so stay right there. We'll be right back, guys. Rather red in it, buffalo soldier. Look, it's like I told you. Any damsel that's in distress, be out of that dress when she meet Jim West. Rough neck, so go check the law on the by. Watch your step, we'll flex and get a hold of your sides. Follow your bride, don't let your lip react. You don't wanna see my hand where my hip be at. With Artemis from the start of this, running the game. James West, taming the West. So remember the name. Now who you gonna call?
Not the GB.
Now who you gonna call?
GWG.
If you ever rip with people wanna bust,
break out
before you get bum rushed. When I roll and do the
wow, wow,
when I stroll and do the
wow, wow,
when I bounce and do the
wow, wow.
Myself told me love is a madman. All right, we're back, guys. Let's go to some establishment Republican nonsense. Establishment Republicans are apparently losing their minds over Donald Trump. Huffington Post has an article here titled, "Republicans Left Wondering If Donald Trump Will Kill the Party or Just Maim It." Interesting. So I'm amused by their fake outrage here. Let's go through some of these quotes. One person said, these are all prominent Republicans, "What they want to do is go back to 1956, and it's just not going to happen," said a longtime Republican consultant who served as former Florida Governor Jeb Bush's campaign manager in 1994. "If that's who we are, then we're headed for the ash heap of history." Here's another one. "I cannot in good conscience support someone that I know will be a disaster for our nation and our party. If we continue with Trump, it's going to be total annihilation," said Bo Carrell, a Virginia convention delegate, who was suing that state to invalidate a law requiring him to vote according to the result of the March 1st primary, which Trump won. So, you know, kind of admitting he doesn't care about the will of the people in his state. And by the way, he won that, so now he doesn't have to support Trump. Another one here. "The Republican Party is supposed to be the party of conservative principles. What's happening right now is a meltdown of the Republican Party. We're going to be looking at this for years, trying to understand this. It will be analyzed in the books for a decade or two or three," said New Jersey's Steve Lonergan, who, and here's my favorite part, who supported Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Okay, so my feelings about this could be summed up by just that last part right there. You have all these people expressing, "Oh, I'm so outraged over Donald Trump and what he's saying and what he's doing, and he's such a terrible person and a terrible candidate, and he wants to take us back to 1956, and he wants to do this, and he wants to do that, and oh yeah, have I mentioned that I support Ted Cruz?" Oh, I see. So you support somebody who's actually worse than Donald Trump, as you feign outrage over Donald Trump. Spare me, spare me, spare me, spare me. I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The only people who I dislike more in the country than Donald Trump are the establishment Republicans. Here are the establishment Republicans who are like, "Oh, I'm so shocked by what Donald Trump is saying." You guys know what this is really about, right? So Donald Trump, in some ways, he's just a more honest Republican, and in other ways, he's better than the establishment Republicans. So in what areas is he more honest? Bigotry. while all the other Republicans go out there and they speak in coded language, Donald Trump drops the coded language, and he just says what all the base Republicans in the country are thinking. So he's like, yeah, kick out 11 million undocumented immigrants. Why not? I'm being honest about it. The other ones will speak in coded language. He doesn't. He says, let's kick out 11 million undocumented immigrants. Yeah, remember when they did Operation Wetback? That's literally what it was called. And they kicked out undocumented immigrants? I like that. I want to do that now. Let's build a wall. Let's ban all Muslims from entering the country. So, hey, people coming in the country from Mexico, they're rapists. They're criminals. Quote, I assume some are good people. That's what he says. So he just takes the bigotry and the xenophobia, and he's like, yeah, that's what I am. I embrace it. But what does the Republican Party say? What do the establishment Republicans say? Oh, no! You're supposed to hide that, Donald! You're supposed to hide that like us, like good people do. Speak in coded language. Don't just say it. Because if you just say it, well, then we can't get the tiny percentage that we need from those communities in order to win the election. So that's the first thing that gets them angry. What's the second thing that gets them angry? Well, this guy said it. Hey, I support Ted Cruz. Okay, well, what's one of the biggest differences between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump? Donald Trump does the rhetoric of economic populism. So Donald Trump is out there saying, I'm not going to cut Medicare. I'm not going to cut Social Security. In fact, I don't want anything to do with the TPP. I don't want anything to do with any of these disastrous trade deals. So that's economically populist. That's, hey, I'm going to look out for the blue-collar worker. I'm going to look out for middle-class people. Compare that with Ted Cruz. What does Ted Cruz say? The exact opposite. We have to cut Social Security and Medicare because it's a fiscal reality, and we have to do it. We got to get serious. We should privatize it and give all the money to Wall Street. That's what he argues. You know, he argues, well, trade is always good. I believe in free market conservative principles. Donald Trump doesn't. So on economic issues, Donald Trump has significantly better rhetoric than the other Republicans. To be clear, I don't believe him. I think he's probably going to do the same thing the other Republicans would do if he's elected. But his rhetoric is way better. And on the social issues, you know, he just lets it hang out there more. With his bigotry, he's like, yeah, that's what I am. What do you want me to fucking do? The other ones speak in coded racial language, and they're more in favor of shitty economic policies. And that's why the establishment Republicans hate him, because the Republican Party is just an arm or a wing of corporate America. So they want to keep doing the bidding of the corporations. Donald Trump comes along and drops a bomb on them and says, yeah, I don't want to do the trade deals. What? I don't want to privatize Social Security and turn all the money over to Wall Street. What? What? So that's why they hate him. Because he's blowing up the game. He's blowing up business as usual. He's making it so that the paper tiger party, the Republicans, their funding dries up from Wall Street and big business. When their funding dries up, there's nothing left because that whole party's propped up by corporate money. That's why they hate him. They don't hate him because, oh, they pretend to be so principled, right? They come out like, oh, no, he wants to take us back to 1956. Oh, my God, look at what he says about minorities. Oh, my God, oh, my God. But what they really mean is he should tone that back a little bit and speak a little more coded as opposed to just saying it. That's what they mean. And he should not be so economically populist because the leaders and the designers and the elites in society, we need to make all the decisions, and we choose that you need to get your Medicare cut and you need to get your Social Security cut. So I always find it funny when, like, for example, Hillary Clinton and a lot of Democratic loyalists will, like, quote these establishment Republicans when they're speaking against Trump as if that's something they should be proud of. Like, huh, look at that. Jeb Bush doesn't even like him. Huh? Yeah, it's not something to brag about. If anything, I dislike Jeb Bush more than I dislike Donald Trump. Why don't you? Like, it's like anything to just make a point for their side. Like, there are a lot of prominent neocons who said, I'm actually going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And Democratic loyalists will tout this like it's something to be proud of. That's not something to fucking be proud of. You should never want those people on your team. They have terrible ideas. And they say, actually, Hillary's ideas line up more with my ideas, I think. So this politics makes for strange bedfellows, and I never thought I'd be out here doing some segments at this point defending Trump. But look, I go where the news takes me, man. And when I see stories like this where the Republicans are doing fake outrage about Donald Trump, I think, sit down and shut up. You know, if you're supporting Ted Cruz over Trump, and you expect somebody like me and all rational people to take your opinion seriously, you got another fucking thing coming. Because Ted Cruz was way worse than Donald Trump, worse on economic issues, and oh yeah, he's a Christian theocrat. At least Donald Trump doesn't, you know, go down that path, or when he does, it's so obvious he's faking it about being super Christian and wanting to implement biblical law or whatever. Ted Cruz might actually fucking believe it. So you're not a serious person if you're like, I hate Trump so much, but Cruz is awesome. You're just a child. Okay, now we go to President Obama, and I'm about to go off on this. President Obama made some infuriating comments on the issue of health care in the Journal of the American Medical Association. So he said, public programs like Medicare often deliver care more cost-effectively by curtailing administrative overhead and securing better prices from providers. The public plan did not make it into the final legislation. Now, based on experience with the ACA, I think Congress should revisit a public plan to compete alongside private insurers in areas of the country where competition is limited. Now, you're probably thinking, well, hold on, Kyle, why are you angry? Isn't he saying something that you want him to say? Of course I want him to be in favor of a public plan. I want him to go further and be in favor of single payer, not just a public option, which is like a step below that. But as somebody pointed out to me on Twitter, I think it was Elmer Mendez, he sent the tweet to me. He said, if only you were president with like a supermajority or something. Dude, Obama had a supermajority. He had the Democrats locked down. And they didn't do a public option. They didn't do single payer. They didn't do a public option. They did this shitty reform. Now, this is where a bunch of people who know dick about politics come out and say, well, I had to do the thing, compromise, negotiations. Did you not hear me? I said he had a supermajority. He could do whatever the fuck he wanted to. Yeah, but the blue dogs, Democrats, blue dogs, they're going to block them. They're going to block them. Funny you say that. Let me remind you what Senator Tom Harkin, a top Democrat of Iowa, said at the time, quote, we had the votes in 2009. We had a huge majority in the House. We had 60 votes in the Senate. Obama's administration should have passed single payer right from the get-go, or at least put a public option, which would have simplified a lot. We had the votes to do that, and we blew it. So anyway, you were saying about how we don't have the votes to do it, and we didn't have the votes to do it? No, this is somebody who knew the situation much better than you do, and he said, no, of course we had the votes. Of course we had a fucking supermajority. That is the definition of having the votes. Now again, to the people who would be the minor obstructionists, the Blue Dog Democrats, here's how LBJ would have handled that. Here's how FDR would have handled that. Here's how anybody who really wanted to get it done in new politics would have handled that. You call the few blue dogs, there aren't that many blue dogs, you call the few of them that there are into your office who are saying, I don't want to do this because I'm from a Republican state and they might vote me out if I vote for this thing, so I'm not going to do it. Huff and puff. Anger. Do I look mad? Call them into your office if you're Obama. You say, look, I'm going to make this simple. What are my approval ratings right now? At the time, his approval ratings were high. What are my approval ratings right now? Great. You see that? What are yours? Right. They're low. Interesting. So here's what's going to happen. If you don't vote for this legislation, whatever legislation I put up, whether it's single payer, public option, whatever, if you don't vote for it, your career's over. It's done. That's it. Go find a job in your shitty home state. Go for it. And then you're like, well, hold on now. How's that guaranteed to work? Well, what you say is, if you don't vote for this, I will campaign, will primary you, and I will campaign for your primary opponent endlessly. And I'm way more popular than you are. And we will get that person to oust your ass. So you're done. I'll get the DNC to pour way more money into their campaign than your campaign. So do you want to fight a political force? I'm going down in the history books, son. Are you? You're a nobody. So do you want to come up against this political force and lose your career and be done with politics, be blackballed from politics? You'll have no chance in this Democratic Party ever. Do you want to do that or not? It's up to you. Vote for it or you're done. Your career's over. That's how you handle it. You know what would have happened? Of course they would have voted for it. If there's one thing people in Washington care about, it's their ass. So if you say, well, your ass is on the line, you vote for this or else, or you're done, your career's over. That's it. And you had a supermajority. So the only people standing in your way, theoretically, were the blue dogs. Twist their arm just a little bit. Okay, I vote for it. That's it. And again, now Obama's saying, well, you know, a public option would have been good. You could have even gotten fucking single payer, Medicare for all, but you didn't do it because you didn't want to do it. You actually believe in this watered-down right-wing reform. People forget Obamacare, so an individual mandate reform, that originally came from Republicans. Richard Nixon proposed a similar idea to that when he was president. Bob Dole proposed a similar plan to that. The Heritage Foundation, which is a right-wing think tank, wrote policy papers about how this is what we like as a counter to single-payer, the Democratic idea, because this is less government. So what did Obama do? He said, okay, let's just cave all the way to the Republican idea and pass that. And they passed that, and they still got zero Republican votes. So if you got zero Republican votes, you could have done a better plan and still got zero Republican votes. And this isn't hard to fucking figure out. But now he comes out and says, I'm for a Republic option. By the way, why is he doing it? He's doing it because Bernie Sanders massively pushed the Democratic Party to the left. He did. In the primary season, now the Democrats have to do progressive rhetoric or else they don't get any fucking votes. So Bernie Sanders comes along, massively pushes the party to the left, says Medicare for all, and that's the end of the conversation. Now, recently, we just learned this week, Hillary came out and said, okay, I'm going to meet Bernie halfway. I'm for a public option now. So he pushed Hillary to the left. Obama's trying to get Hillary elected, campaigning for her, so what does he have to do? I agree with Hillary Clinton's plan. Let's do a public option. We should do a public option. I mean, hey, I see how Obamacare is rolling out, and a public option would still be preferable. So this is all Bernie Sanders to thank for all this. Bernie Sanders goes to the left where the real position should be, Medicare for all, end of discussion. Hillary goes, okay, I'll meet you halfway, public option, that's what I'm for. And that forces even Obama to come out and say, I'm for the public option. But look, when push comes to shove, Obama, he's just mimicking the moves. Notice, Obama does this every time he runs for office. In 08, he sounded much more progressive than he actually was when he governed. In 2012, he sounded much more progressive than he was when he actually governed. Now that he's campaigning again, trying to get Hillary elected, look at that. Much more progressive than he was when he actually governed. So, and this is what they say. Notice when it comes time to get your vote, all of a sudden, oh, the progressive ideas are better. I don't know what you're talking about. But when they're in power, let's go with the centristy, corporatist establishment ideas. It really is sad, man, because they're playing a game with your life. This isn't a hard issue to figure out, healthcare. This is one of the duds. So look at the rest of the modern world. They all have one version or another of a single-payer system where, you know, the government is the insurer. Here, we don't. And our Democratic politicians are still like, maybe we'll go to a public option, but not full single-payer, because let's not be crazy, / rational, and do what every other modern nation has. So this annoys me if you can't tell. You wanted single-payer, you could have fucking gotten it. You wanted a public option, you definitely could have gotten that. You didn't fucking want it. So yesterday, I reported on the fact that some whispers in the media indicated that the GOP might just back off their explicitly anti-gay language in the party platform. Well, it turns out that's wrong. I should have known better when I saw the articles. I really should have, but I didn't. I fell for it. So Huffington Post reports here, delegates ultimately voted to retain language calling for a constitutional amendment on same-sex marriage. They also have provisions against abortion and transgender bathrooms and in favor of gay conversion therapy. I love that one because it's just blatantly unscientific and they pretend it's scientific. But this is actually even further than I thought the language was in 2012, but I was wrong. In 2012, they had language, oh, we are traditional marriage is the way to go, one man, one woman. But then they also said, we believe in a constitutional amendment for a marriage to be one man, one woman. They kept that language in this time around. It's 2016. They put in their platform, we want an amendment to the Constitution that says marriage is one man, one woman. This is just sad. So they had the first openly gay member of the Republican platform drafting committee. She literally teared up as she was arguing against this because she hit a wall of opposition in Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council, this super evangelical conservative Christian group that refused to budge on this. She teared up and she's like, I don't get it. We're your friends. We're your neighbors. You know, we're just like you. It was a plea from an openly gay Republican not to slap the gay community in the face. And they slapped the gay community in the face. So sad. Even on the transgender bathroom thing. Remember, Donald Trump said, yeah, I don't care. You want to whatever fucking bathroom you want. He was asked specifically about Caitlyn Jenner. Hey, if Caitlyn Jenner went to one of your hotels. I don't care. Go to whatever bathroom you want. So the party itself is like, we don't agree with the candidate. On stuff like this, they're asking to become extinct. It's so funny because they rail against Trump like he's the reason. Say, with Donald Trump, we're going to become extinct. I just covered the story. In fact, I'll give you the headline again because I think it's so telling. Republicans left wondering if Donald Trump will kill the party or just maim it. No, I think if anything, the establishment Republicans are even more likely to kill the party or maim it. Like, that's the thing. People don't get it. Donald Trump is bad. The only group of people worse than him are the rest of the Republican Party, the establishment Republicans. Because this is the shit they're hanging on to. Over 60% of the country is done with the issue of gay marriage. Totally done. They're like, okay, yeah, I'm in favor of it. Who cares? Ted and Greg getting married. Don't give a shit. Are they happy? Do they love each other? Whatevs, dude. I'm going to go eat a sandwich and watch TV. But the Republicans are like, oh, we can't have that. I don't like it because it threatens my marriage because I secretly want to leave my wife and blow somebody. What? Did I say that out loud? So 60% of the country is against them. On all these, marijuana legalization, about 60% of the country now is for marijuana legalization. The Democrats put a pathway to legalization in their platform. Republicans, oh, substances are bad. They're so bad. So you have a party that really is stuck in the olden days, not because of Trump, because of the regular people in the party, the base of the party, because of the evangelical conservative Christians, because of the social conservatives. I mean, you can't fucking figure out gay marriage at this point? God, that's so fucking mind-numbingly stupid. And then they wonder, like, oh, why didn't we win? Look at your fucking platform, even people in your own party. A majority of young Republicans are for gay marriage. These idiots are like, nah, let's still be against it. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. And again, I said, I'll be interested to see what happens on trade, on the issue of trade. Because I can almost guarantee you, what are they going to do? They're going to put right-wing rhetoric on trade. We're in favor of free trade. We love TPP and NAFTA and all that stuff. They might not be explicit about loving TPP and NAFTA, but they will say they love trade because capitalism and free markets, and it's great. It's good for the business community. They're going to argue that while at the same time arguing Donald Trump is the problem in the Republican Party. Well, Donald Trump on trade, his rhetoric is way more right than you idiots. So he comes out and says, I'm against NAFTA, I'm against TPP, I want to keep jobs in America, I don't want to cut Social Security, I don't want to cut Medicare. Look at the platform, we're going to see. Does the platform say, hey, we need to reform Social Security? That's their code word for cut and privatize. Does it say we need to do that with Social Security? Does it say we need to do that with Medicare? I bet you it does. Is it going to say, hey, we got to do more trade? I bet you it does. So on all these issues where Trump is better than them, like, I don't care which bathrooms fucking trans people use, whatever. Hey, free trade is bad, it hurt the American worker. Medicare, leave it alone. Social Security, leave it alone. On all those issues where Trump is better and the polls show that the people are with him, they're going to go against him as they claim that he's the one hurting the party more. No, you know what's hurting the party more? This dumb shit. You came out against gay marriage in 2016 after we already got it legal through the Supreme Court at a federal level. Gay marriage is legal in America all across the country. And they're still coming out against it. That really is as stupid as right after the courts legalized interracial marriage, because that was, a lot of people don't know this. It wasn't that long ago. That was illegal. You couldn't get interracially married. That's like after the courts legalized interracial marriage, you have the Republican Party putting in their platform, we're against miscegenation. I think that's the right word. If you don't know that word, don't feel bad. You're normal. That means interracial marriage, interracial mixing. That's like the Republicans saying, we're against interracial marriage after we get it legalized in the country. like, proudly on the wrong side of history. That's what they're doing here. We're against common sense and reason, and we don't like gay people. Now vote for us. Oh, shit, we lost. I wonder why we lost. Anyway, let's talk about more about how we hate gay people. All right, next. This is so great. It gets better on this Republican platform, man. So we have some news here from the Republican Platform Committee, and it's just special. So Yahoo News reports, Republican delegates unanimously adopted an amendment to their draft platform Monday morning that called pornography a public health crisis and a public menace that is destroying lives. Oh. Oh, that's adorable. Okay, hold on. Here's the exact quote. Pornography, with its harmful effects, especially on children, has become a public health crisis that is destroying the life of millions. We encourage states to continue to fight this public menace and pledge our commitment to children's safety and well-being. Anytime you want to be a socially conservative prick and ban things and censor things and restrict things, the only argument you have to make is, the kids, the kids. Yeah, strip clubs are legal. Should they be illegal because kids exist and you don't want kids going in there? No, just don't allow kids in there. End of conversation. Don't allow your kids to see porn. End of conversation. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, you don't want your kid to get a massage with a happy ending. Does that mean it should be illegal? That's not an argument. Hey, kids exist. Kids exist. And? That doesn't mean adults have to stop doing adult shit, but that's the argument. Oh my God, this is the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm so sad. This is so sad. In 2016, the Republican Party platform says, yeah, pornography is really bad for your mental health, and it's destroyed millions of lives, and it's a public menace, and it's a public health crisis. You know what would be a public menace and a public health crisis? Not having porn. There, I said it. Okay, you know what it does? It relaxes you. It sedates you. Everybody's got a sex drive. Not everybody can get sex any hour of the day. So, I wonder what you have to do when you can't engage in a physical sex act with somebody, but you're horny. If only there was something like self-pleasure, where you take care of it yourself. Yes, that exists. Men do it. Women do it. Everybody fucking does it. And you're going to take away the number one aid in helping with that stress relief. I guarantee you that would lead to more aggressive people, more angry people, perhaps an uptick in crime. I hate to get all Freudian about this, but one way to make sure a young male, for example, is fucking miserable and kind of dangerous is to have him pent up and suppressed. They don't care about any of it. We think that boobies are bad, and we definitely don't want to see vaginas or butts. That's so bad and wrong. Let's go watch Leave It to Beaver. Let's put a pro Leave It to Beaver thing in our party platform. Let's do that. Let people know good, wholesome American entertainment is the way to go. Fucking children. You're children. Do you have any idea how much pornography is on the internet? Answer, an infinite amount. You can't go through all the porn on the internet in a million lifetimes. There's so much fucking porn on the internet. And they're like, let's wage a war against that. Good luck. You're waging a war against fucking human nature. I mean, you want to talk about a biological imperative. I mean, what, everybody breathes, everybody pisses, everybody shits, and everybody has a sex drive. It's biological. It's nature. This shit isn't, like, learned. It's not like, you know, certain things in society where it's just convention. This isn't convention. How the fuck do you think there are billions of people on the planet right now? People got horny and people fucked. You're like, I would like to take away an avenue to relieve the sexual stress that people feel. And the easiest, most convenient one at that, pornography. And this party wants you to take it seriously. I mean, come on, man. Are you fucking kidding me? Nobody's going to take you seriously. Like, the only, they're 10% of the people in the country, maybe 20% tops, that read a fucking anti-porn platform and they can genuinely say, yeah, that's morality right there. And, of course, this is from the same party that, what, started the Iraq War, has the neoconservatives in it. These motherfuckers invaded a country, killed over 100,000 people, jacked natural resources, set up a worldwide torture regime. And then they go, you know what, I got a thing or two to say about morality over here. You should take me seriously because my moral compass is totally on point. I love torture and I love invading countries that didn't attack us. But anyway, porn, so bad. I mean, you want to see some titties? You want to see a nice booty? Please, you need to go see a therapist or a psychologist. Anyway, are we waterboarding people again today? Sleep deprivation? What's on the menu, huh? Huh? Let me talk more about morality. You guys are fucking children. Don't tell me, oh, we're the party of small government. We just want the government to get out of your way. Freedom, liberty, constitution. Well, you want the government to get out of people's way, except when you want it to be the biggest government ever and involved in people's lives in the worst ways. This isn't like sane government regulation of, hey, maybe we should have child labor laws. This is like, if you're about to beat off and you're on your favorite porn site, I want the government to shut it down. Public health crisis, you have a problem. You like touching yourself. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Obviously, good people have no sex drive whatsoever. What a joke, man. What a joke. Anti-porn. An anti-porn platform in 2016. An anti-porn platform in 2016. I will say one thing, though. You know who I'm sure is ecstatic about this? Islamic fundamentalists across the world. They're looking at Republicans like, oh, we've found a home in America. We go to that party. They don't like porn either. So congratulations. You made some strange bedfellows there. Okay. I can't shut up about this. I have to continue, man. I got more to say. I got more to say. I gotta reel it in because I can just keep going on this. Like, we all know it's a guarantee that they're just liars. What, you think everybody who drafted that, they unanimously agreed? Anti-porn, great, let's put that in there. You're telling me that the people who were for the anti-porn platform
never look at porn? Is that what you're telling me?
Is that what you're telling me? You're not telling me that, are you? So they're admitting they're hypocrites. Any normal, yes, you all looked at it. Let's not be stupid. You looked at it. Of course you looked at it. You probably looked at it within the last week, okay? So you're hypocrites. We know you're hypocrites. Why do you expect us to take you seriously? There's such a disconnect between reality and the policies you're for, so why should anybody take you seriously? You're not trying to describe the world as it is and fix it. You're trying to mold the world into this bullshit ideal that you've set up in your own mind that isn't an ideal at all. All right, now I'm going to shut the fuck up. I got to take a quick break. When I come back, Republican obstruction hits a new record level. We'll talk about that. And then, oh my God, wait until we get to this. The right's going to have a hard time wrapping their mind around this, but in states where there are more guns, cops get killed more often. Now what side do they come out on? It's hard. They're torn there. All right. We'll be right back, guys. Stay right there.
When I was born, they look at me that. What a good boy. What a smart boy. What a strong boy. When you were born, they look at you and say, what a good girl. What a smart girl. What a pretty girl. Got these chains. Hang around and if the woman strangle us with before we take our first step. Red out change, red out stain the same when temptation comes, we just look away. This name is a hair shirt I wear, this hair shirt is for the sun. Your brown
Alright, we're back, guys. So I got some tweets here during the break, and apparently it happened. It happened while I'm on air, that Bernie Sanders has officially endorsed Hillary Clinton. Now, he dropped a lot of hints that he was going to do it, to the point where I think anybody who was paying close attention for months now knew he was going to do it. He even said recently in an interview with Morning Joe, hey, if it comes down to it, would you vote for her? He said, yeah. So this isn't really that big of a surprise. I guess some people are surprised that he didn't take the fight to the convention. But very simply, the superdelegates are overwhelmingly establishment people. The establishment loves Hillary Clinton, so they're not going to flip to him unless maybe there was an outside chance, if Hillary Clinton was indicted, that they would do that. Even then, they might not have done it, and there's a million and one scenarios that could have unfolded. But I think it makes sense, and I thought it made sense, for him to hang around while that stuff was happening and while there was the investigation. When we got the announcement that there was no indictment, you know, then it was over. It was already 99% to 99.9% chance that Hillary would be the nominee. After the non-indictment, it's 100%. So now he officially came out and endorsed Hillary Clinton. And there are some people who are now saying Bernie Sanders is a sellout. Do I agree with that? No, because his record speaks for itself. This dude fought tooth and nail every step of the way to try to push the Democratic Party to be more progressive, to be more liberal, to represent the people. And his decades of fighting for progressive change doesn't go away because today he decided, okay, I'm going to have to concede and, yes, support the lesser of two evils. Now, he's not going to say that. He's not going to say, hey, I think Hillary Clinton is the lesser of two evils. But does he think that? And does he believe that? I would be absolutely shocked if he didn't think that and believe that, because you heard everything he said about her during the primary season. She's too cozy with Wall Street, and she's got all these problems with the Clinton Foundation. She's too interventionist, and there's this problem, and there's that problem. You know, supported NAFTA, supported TPP, voted for the Patriot Act, voted for the Iraq War. The list goes on, and he's right to criticize her on all those things, and those things don't just go away now that it's the general election and it's her versus Trump. You have to be objective and you have to be rational in attacking everybody in the race and calling them out for their shitty positions. And yes, Hillary Clinton has a lot of shitty positions. But at the conclusion Bernie Sanders came to, I think, is, yes, I think she's the lesser of two evils. Now, some people are going to say, well, why doesn't he just endorse Jill Stein? I don't understand. Why doesn't he just endorse Jill Stein? Because Jill Stein certainly, on the substance, agrees with Bernie Sanders way more than Hillary Clinton. So Jill Stein is more in alignment with Bernie Sanders than, you know, Hillary Clinton is in alignment with Bernie Sanders. But there's a very obvious answer to why he doesn't endorse Jill Stein. Because if he endorses Jill Stein, you split the liberal vote, and the Republican vote, the conservative vote, is unified behind Trump. And so you're just handing the election over to Donald Trump. If he comes out and he endorses Jill Stein, it's not a question as to if you will split the Democratic vote. You are definitely going to split the progressive vote, the liberal vote. And if you split the liberal vote, there's only so many liberals in the country. And if the Republicans are unified, which they overwhelmingly likely will be, well, then you're just handing the election to Trump. So if you endorse Jill Stein, you know, and you have as much power and sway as Bernie does, that does just hand the election over to Trump. Now, I'm not in the camp of Bernie, where Bernie is coming out now and he's saying, yes, I'm just endorsing her. So in other words, he wants you to vote for her, period. I don't agree with that. I'm in the camp of, as I've said a million times before on air, I wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton unless I basically absolutely positively have to and I think I have no other rational choice. So if you're in a deep red state or a deep blue state that's either guaranteed to go to Trump in the red states or Hillary in the blue states, yes, I support you doing whatever the fuck you want. I know I am personally going to do a protest vote. Like in 2012, I voted for Obama in the primary and the general in 2008, but in 2012 I voted for Jill Stein. Well, I'm going to vote this time in the general for Jill Stein because I'm in New York and it's going to go to Hillary no matter what the fuck I do. But now I also say if I was in Ohio or Florida, I probably would also hold my nose, vomit, puke, cry, you know, be in a fetal position, regretting my entire life as I hold my nose and vote for Hillary Clinton, because I agree with Bernie Sanders' assessment that she is the lesser of two evils. I think she's massively evil, probably more so than even Bernie thinks she is, but I do think she's the lesser of two evils. As I've explained before, if they're both a test, if Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are a test, I give Hillary Clinton like a 20 or 23 on the test out of 100. Trump may get like a 5. The only thing that I think Trump is good on is his rhetoric with trade. That's pretty much it. So he says populist things on trade. I don't even believe him that he's against the deals, though, like he says he is, because, for example, he personally benefits from them. And this isn't like with Ron Paul and Medicare, how like he takes Social Security and Medicare, but he's against it, because you're almost automatically enrolled in that. Whereas with partaking in these trade deals, you're not automatically enrolled in it. He didn't have to build factories in China to build some of his shit. He didn't have to send jobs to Mexico, and he did. And he did. So I don't believe him when he says he's against trade, but his rhetoric on trade is better than Hillary Clinton's. But overall, when you take the totality of their positions, yes, I think he's a little worse than she is. So I don't want people to be disheartened and think Bernie's a sellout, because what Bernie's doing is it's a step-by-step rational decision-making. So what he's doing is he's saying, hey, when there's no election, let's fight to get systemic change. Let's get systemic reform. He's big, obviously, like the rest of us, on getting money out of politics. Then when it comes time for primary season, pick the most progressive candidate possible. Then when it comes down to it, and it's just a general election, and it's the honestly the choice of lesser of two evils, well, it'd be crazy to pick the worst evil, wouldn't it? So that's his logic. It's step-by-step rationality. And if you think he's a sellout, well, I think you're preposterous for ignoring his record because of what he did today. Because the decades and decades of fighting for progressive reform doesn't go away because he picked the lesser of two evils in an election. Okay, and I would just tell everybody the reasons why I think Bernie's reasons, his real reasons, he'll say other things, but his real reasons for basically falling in line and supporting her in the general election, it really is just more of an anti-Trump thing than a pro-Hillary thing. Again, he'll say it differently because he has to, but it really is just he understands that Trump thinks climate change is a Chinese hoax. Hillary doesn't. Now, Hillary, she sold fracking throughout the world as Secretary of State, so that added to climate change. So she's no angel on it. But is she as bad as, I think it's a Chinese hoax, and I will actively go in the wrong direction and continue to do so? No. Trump says he'll rip up the climate agreement, the Paris Climate Agreement, on day one. Hillary won't do that. So this is something that would lead Bernie Sanders to say, as much as I might not like Hillary, I got to go for her over this crazy person. He says he'll deport 11 million undocumented immigrants. She doesn't say that. She may end up deporting a lot. She may continue Obama's record deportations, where she might deport a million people. That's horrible. Guess what? A million is still less than 11 million. He says he wants to ban all Muslims from entering the country. She doesn't. He says that he wants to make a deal and let the United States default on our debt, which would lead to worldwide depression. She's not that stupid. She's bad, and we disagree on a million policy positions, but she wouldn't do that. He said he would do that. The Supreme Court. He says I'm going to pick Antonin Scalia 2.0, the next Antonin Scalia. Antonin Scalia was a crazy person. He thought the devil was real. He believed black people are inferior. This is all shit that's on the record. He's pro-torture, against due process. All this stuff is on the fucking record. Hillary says, I'll go with Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland is a centrist judge, which sucks. When I want Democrats in office, I want them to pick actual liberals. Her and Obama don't. They pick a centrist. But let's not kid ourselves and say that Merrick Garland is equal to Antonin Scalia. You have to be stupid to believe that. You know, more, he says he's going to torture and bring back way worse than waterboarding. And he said, I'll torture, quote, even if it doesn't work. She doesn't say that. You know, she's voted for horrific wars. But I think a difference between Trump and Hillary is if you go to President Trump and say, Mr. President, we had a mistake here. We just killed 17 civilians in a drone strike in Pakistan. His response would be, so what? Hillary's would be, we got to do better. There's a difference in those two human beings. Now, again, this isn't an argument for Hillary. It's just an argument against Trump. I'm not voting for Hillary. I'm voting for Jill Stein because I'm in New York. But if I was in Ohio or Florida, I would suck it up and vote for the lesser of two evils because I agree with Bernie Sanders in that respect. If you think he's a sellout, I don't know what to tell you. Overlooking decades and decades of fighting for progressive change is quite a thing to overlook, and that's the height of irrationality. And finally, Trump says stuff like wages are too high. The big scandal over Hillary was she wanted a $12 minimum wage, and Bernie wanted 15, and she caved and gave 15, and it's in the platform, and it stayed in the platform. So look at the difference there. Trump, wages are too high. It's fucking crazy. That was in the context of being asked about the minimum wage, too. So he might mean lower the minimum wage for all we know. That's him. Hillary, yeah, 12 was my ideal. Okay, these things, it's not, they're both bad based on the totality of their positions, but the lesser of the two evils, I really don't think is that hard to figure out. And Trump, I had long discussions about this, and you guys could go see them. It's the Bernie, if you type in Bernie or Bust to the Secular Talk search engine, you'll see all the different, I did two conversations with it, one with TYT, one with somebody else. And we got into a lot of detail about why I think it is she is the lesser of two evils, and I'm still not voting for her, but I would if I was in a swing state. And, you know, another one was Trump says very proudly and very openly, hey, I'll open up the libel laws. and sue journalists, try to stop, you know, reporters from saying things that I don't like about me. I mean, this is a guy who sued Bill Maher over a joke. He sued The Onion over satire. And we're going to say that this guy is somehow this paragon of free speech? My ass he is. He's the opposite of that. He's for free speech if it's against the groups he doesn't like. If it's against him and the groups he likes, well, then he'll literally censor you. He said, I want to open up the libel laws. So this isn't that difficult of a question, if you ask me. And Bernie even goes further than me. Bernie says, just vote for her. I say, I wouldn't vote for her, and I'm not going to in any of the deep red or deep blue states. I'm just saying if I was in a swing state, I would vote for her. So, you know, all I have to say is, and I'm getting tweets now, too. People literally are saying, like, oh, it's going to be interesting to see you try to defend Bernie because he just sold out his principles, blah, 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 blah. You really think Bernie Sanders sold out? Bernie Sanders, a guy who based his entire life on progressive reform and policy substance. You really think that because when push came to shove, he picked the lesser of two evils, that he sold out? No, because he's going to wake up tomorrow and continue to push for progressive goals. He's going to continue to propose policy substance. He's going to continue to fight the battle the grassroots way and a million other ways. He inspired thousands of people to run who are his fans. He created an entire political revolution here. If you say you think he sold out, not only do I think you're wrong, I think you're disrespecting a legacy of one of the best senators in United States history. And you're doing that out of blind rage. So it's okay to be upset with him. It's not okay to erase decades of progressive reform and policy substance. We should all be thanking Bernie Sanders for how hard he worked to push this Democratic Party to the left and get change, as opposed to being angry at him. Republican obstruction just hit a new record level, The Hill reports here. A House panel on Thursday rejected multiple efforts by Democrats to eliminate a budget amendment that has frozen nearly all government research into gun violence for 17 years. During a markup of the next year's health spending bill, Republicans blocked two amendments that would have allowed the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to study gun-related deaths. Neither had a recorded vote. So this is fucking lovely. Republicans are obstructing even research into gun violence because, you know, that infringes on their liberty and their freedom and their Second Amendment rights. Is there anybody who can make a logical argument for this, a rational argument of, no, here's why that's a good thing? No, you can't do it. You want to know why? Because the reason behind this is right there for us to see. Nobody's hiding it. You have the gun manufacturers, so the people who make money off selling guns, giving money to the leadership of the NRA, not the people. The actual people in the NRA are not unreasonable, according to the polls. They're for some sane gun reforms. But the gun manufacturers give money to the leadership of the NRA, they give money to the Republicans, and they give it with strings attached. So they're saying, look, we give you this money, you got to block any and all proposals on guns. You got to keep it exactly as it is now. If anybody wants to cut a dime into our profits, you're opposing that legislation. So this is the result. Even when the Democrats go as weak as saying, all right, we're giving up on all the other reforms, let's just research gun deaths and get some statistics on guns in America. They go, nope, nope, we're not going to do that. We're going to block that too. If the Democrats were smart, they could, I'm telling you, they could ride this issue to a giant election victory. 90% of the country is in favor of a universal background check for all gun purchases. That's not an unreasonable policy. That's the most reasonable policy. Hence, 90% of people agreeing with it. Majority of Democrats, majority of independents, majority of Republicans, a majority of NRA members. Again, reasonable as opposed to the leadership. They're all for it. And the Republicans still block it. They block it. So where are you, Democrats? Go out on all the Sunday shows. Do a media blitz. And you say, okay, call your congressman and ask him why they disagree with 90% of the American people. Ask them why they think their opinion should override the will of the people in a fucking democracy. Ask them that. And whatever argument they come up with is guaranteed to be bullshit. Oh, Second Amendment means you can't research guns. What the fuck are you saying? Means you can't have background checks. You just fucking made that up. Means you can't regulate it. Really, you can't regulate it. Funny way of showing that when in the Second Amendment, the word regulate is there. I know. People only have a right to bear arms. That's the part that people remember. They don't remember the first part. A well-regulated militia, necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. But forget the first part, because it's inconvenient. It says the word regulated, and they argue you are not allowed to regulate. Did you know even fucking Antonin Scalia, one of the furthest right-wing justices arguably in American history, even he's like, where's the fucking question here? Of course, if states want to regulate, for example, assault weapons, if they want to ban certain kinds of guns, even Antonin Scalia is like, yeah, there's no problem with that. Why? Because they had fucking muskets back in the day when the Second Amendment was passed. It took you an hour and a half to reload, and your accuracy was dismal. So, and now people are like, no, that means I have a right to an AR-15. That means I have a right to an AK-47. No, it doesn't. And again, you know, I'm ranting against people here. I'm not even ranting against that many people, because the overwhelming majority of the American people are with us. Did you know every gun reform proposal is now majority popular? Ban on high-capacity magazines, ban on assault weapons, universal background checks, all the reasonable ones. You know, if you want to do a gun buyback program, so you don't ban guns, I think that goes too far. What you do is a buyback program, so give people an offer they can't refuse and have them turn in all the guns that they don't use and they don't need and all that stuff. And then you limit the number of guns across the country. This man, they're even blocking fucking research. What possible argument could you have? We shouldn't know facts about this. Well, they don't want people to know the facts, because when we do get facts on it, it shows that their narrative is bullshit. Their narrative is what? More guns equals more peace. Well, from the numbers that we do have on gun violence, what do we know? 32,000 gun deaths every single year. Homicides, suicides, accidents, that's all forms of gun death. Okay? Over 11,000 homicides. That's not like any other modern nation. We're through the fucking roof on that. Through the roof! So, when we have more facts, the picture becomes obvious. Well, we need to do some kind of gun reform if we care about this public health crisis. They don't like that conclusion. So just nip the research in the bud and don't do any more research. That's their fucking answer. Isn't that crazy? They can't win on the argument when the facts are known, so let's just obliterate the facts and have no more facts. Well, thankfully, there are some non-governmental bodies that have looked into this, and we do know some things. Like, for example, there was a meta-analysis from Harvard that looked into all the credible gun studies, and they found that where there are more guns, there is more homicide. So where there are more guns, there are more gun deaths. Wow, hard to figure out, but apparently some people didn't believe it. They thought more guns equals more peace. Well, your theory is incorrect based on the data, based on the studies, the meta-analysis, which is an amalgamation of the studies. So, but go ahead, keep obstructing. If I was leading the Democrats, it'd be over on this. It'd be over. I would laugh as you continued to obstruct, because every single time you fucking obstructed, I'd make your life a living hell. And I'd make it so that you're guaranteed to lose the next election. We'd be guaranteed to win off this issue, because you don't care what the people think, and we do. Okay. Okay, let me try to squeeze in one more here. I'm going to go to Donald Trump's spiritual advisor, another one of these kooks. Big shocker here, another one of Donald Trump's spiritual advisors on his campaign turns out to be a total con artist. So this is televangelist Paula White. Let's see what she's selling.
click on that donation button by minimizing the screen. And when you do, to sew $1,144, it's not often I ask very specifically, but God has instructed me, and I want you to hear, this isn't for everyone, but this is for someone. When you sew that $1,144 based on John chapter 11, verse 44, I believe for resurrection life. Say, Pastor Paul, I just don't have that. Then sew $144. I don't have that. So $44. But stand on John chapter 11, verse 44. And when you do, there are prayer cloths that we have anointed, that we have prayed over, that are going to be a point of contact. In Acts chapter 19, the Bible says that Paul had prayed over these prayer cloths and that they brought forth special miracles, signs, and wonders. There have been times I've taken prayer cloths that have been anointed as a point of contact. I put them in my loved one's sneakers. I put them under their bed. I put them on parts of my body that I believe God for healing. And when it was the most dire, distressed, absolutely devastating look circumstance, I would stand in faith that that miracle was going to come forth. And I watched God do it. God has never failed. I can sit here and say this. There's not anything in my life that I prayed according to the word of God that I had not seen God answer.
That's low. She's selling resurrection seeds. Okay, what does that even mean? Resurrection seeds? So are you... Is it in the name? Is this literal? So you're saying here are resurrection seeds and miracles will be performed. So what are you saying, that you're selling something that will raise the dead? I don't know if that's what you're saying. I'm asking if that's what you're saying. But resurrection seeds is a weird thing to call it, isn't it? And you're saying, well, give me over $1,000. If you can't afford that, maybe a little bit over $100 or something like that. Dude, are you serious? Give me $1,000 and I'll give you resurrection seeds. She promises miracles. And she goes, oh, also we have these prayer cloths. We prayed over these cloths. They're holy. You give me over $1,000, I give you a cloth. But don't worry, miracles will be performed. Oh, my God, you're such a fucking con artist. You know what this reminds me of? Peter Popoff. You remember that guy? He'd be on late at night. He has infomercials on a bunch of different channels. And he would say, oh, we're going to – you give us money, we'll give you holy water. Get this. The holy water will fix your debt. Give me money to get out of debt. Give me your money, which you should put towards paying down your debt. Give me the money, I'll give you the holy water, and then your debt, gone. They even went as far as to say, give me money, and we'll give you the holy water. This cures cancer. This people who are paralyzed, they can get up and start walking. They have the goofy videos where they show people get up and they start dancing. Oh, my God, you're all such fucking con artists. Look at her! Give me over $1,000, I'll give you a resurrection seed and a prayer cloth, and miracles will happen. Well, what if they don't? And then later on she goes to say, and by the way, if it doesn't happen, it's kind of your own fault. You didn't believe strongly enough. Of course, there's the wiggle room. It's all bullshit. They're trying to get your money. And it's not surprising that this con artist teamed up with the other con artist, Donald Trump, and their buddy-buddy, and now she's helping him out on the campaign with Christian-related activities. Sounds legit. All right, guys, I'm out of time. Love you. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Mwah. Peace.